Netflix shares have surged 16% over the past month as investors get excited about the company's upcoming content slate. In fact, some are even calling this the Seinfeld rally, as the streaming platform will debut the Seinfeld franchise on October 1st. Let's bring in Bank of America analyst Nat Schindler for more here. Nat, good to see you. Really enjoyed your note. And one thing I didn't fully appreciate is how much content Netflix has coming out over the next 6 to 12 months. What franchises or titles are you most excited about? And what does this barrage of content mean for Netflix in terms of subscribers and their ability to raise prices?
The barrage of content is really a factor of Netflix high spending, which they are always been doing, and then a little bit of a timing around the pandemic. They had a lot of content in the tank when the pandemic started, but that began to run out as you looked at Q1, Q2 of this year. So now they're getting to that next wave of content that they've been producing. It was delayed, but you are getting a big push of content in the second half. So the relative push is quite huge. What I'm looking for, I mean, you have a big name series coming back. You have Lucifer coming back this month. You have with season 6. You have Witcher later this fall with season 2. You have Bridgerton. But then other things you also have, you have big movies. You have The Rock, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot doing a movie together. That's like literally throwing the three hottest stars in all of Hollywood together on screen at the same time.
Nat, how big do you think the Seinfeld franchise will be for Netflix? Is that the type of franchise that comes onto the platform and then immediately Netflix sees a major spike in subscribers?
Yeah, actually, I don't believe so. So this is a very interesting thing. And people sold Netflix back when they lost Friends to Peacock a few years ago. And it was probably not a good move because although that old content has a lot of value to people as kind of filler, it's not that I don't believe it's that thing that makes you hit that subscribe button. It's what you watch in between. So, I think it's going to be watched. It's very hard to calculate whether or not being watched equals paying for the service.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Nat. It's Julie here. I also want to ask you about sort of Netflix's approach when it comes to, for lack of a better word, guilty pleasures versus sort of prestige, right? Because what we've been talking about so far, I think most of it falls into the guilty pleasures category. It's not winning any Emmys here or Oscars for that matter. Most of what we've been discussing, but it gets people to watch. Is that what Netflix is prioritizing at this point?
Well, Netflix has well over 200 million subscribers globally. They're prioritizing everything. So you have, when they do a Scorsese film and they're looking for Oscars, yeah, they want that prestige. But when they do a Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot film, they want 80 million people to watch on the first weekend. So whether it's guilty pleasure or not, they have to do it all. The challenge for Netflix is when you compare it, and I do think competitive compares with Disney is overplayed, but people look at Disney and they say, oh, they have Marvel and everybody's excited for Marvel. Yeah, they have a Marvel or a Star Wars, but that's very few things. That's very broad appeal, but it's still very few things. You're not going to get a Crown or the Bridgerton on Disney. And Netflix's goal is to be the one that has everything. It has the broadest appeal, and it should be able to get the grandmother who wants to watch an English period piece and the young kids who want to watch the next superhero flick.
Nat, in terms of the stock price, it's up close to 17% in the past month. Are you concerned that it just gotten ahead of its skis here, or is this just the start of something, a stronger rally, given the slate you're talking about?
Well, I really think there's mostly a timing issue. If you look at the FANGs, they go in and out of favor over course of the last 2 years. You saw very rapid moves in Netflix and Amazon at the beginning of last year as they really benefited. And while Google lagged, now Google is up 66% year to date this year. And so now there's a rotation into other plays. While Netflix had been down for most of this year, or flat since really end of summer last year, So I think that's a basic rotation. I don't know if we've answered the real question on that everybody has had since they missed Q1. And that's, well, is there growth left post-pandemic? I think there is. I think that the pandemic shifted people earlier. But as you, if you look out, you still have 200 million, 220 million subscribers versus a global market opportunity of 800 million. So they should be able to keep growing. It's just a question of timing. We probably won't answer that. We didn't answer that in Q2 results. We probably begin to get an answer when we start to see Q4 guidance.
And that also, when we're trying to answer that, you know, we have been talking about the Bridgertons of Netflix and Stranger Things because that's what we watch here in the U.S. But in terms of growth, if the growth is going to be international, one would think that their internationally produced shows are going to be as important, if not more important. Or are those people just watching the stuff dubbed and they're signing up for that as well? What do those international watch and subscription patterns look like?
Well, I was quite frankly a skeptic on Netflix international expansion many years ago because I thought that they would have challenge moving U.S. style content globally. And I was proven wrong. And I think the clear answer to this is, look, good content is what liked everywhere. And Game of Thrones was huge in China, and it is very European mythological themed. So what you learn is that good content sells. Narcos does well in the United States with people watching on with subtitles. So I think that there is, if they can produce good content, it doesn't really matter where it's produced. And they've really democratized the production of quality content by giving the producers in all over the world the money to create Hollywood level content. That Hollywood level content will sell outside the U.S., and it will sell inside the U.S.
And that Apple teased something is coming from them in terms of streaming at their September 14th event. How large a threat is Apple to Netflix's dominance over the next 12 months?
I mean, I never think of any particular player in streaming as a direct competitive threat to any other one because they all have different content. And people don't subscribe to streaming platforms because they want to have a streaming platform. They subscribe to watch content. If you want to watch Stranger Things, you subscribe to Netflix. If you want to watch Marvel, you subscribe to Disney. Where they do compete and they occasionally can bump heads, not Disney actually, but everybody else and possibly Apple can bump heads with Netflix at the content acquisition phase, where they're going and basically bidding on with these producers who want to create this new content. I have not been impressed with what Apple has done. They've created a couple quality shows and it's a lot of less than interesting. They're just really not getting that broad appeal yet. They obviously have a lot of money, so they could really invest a lot. They haven't to date. Their initial investment of about $1 billion in content is chump change. Netflix does that in much less than a month at this point. So if they push harder, it will affect the price of content, possibly. But I think there are a lot of great stories out there to be told, and there are a lot of people willing to tell those stories. So Netflix seems to be able to find that content as well.
I have to be honest, Nat, I'm not too sure when I will find the time to watch all of this Netflix content. I'm going to have to figure it out somehow. But we'll leave it there. Bank of America analyst Nat Schindler, always good to see you. Have a great weekend.
Great. Thank you.